Welcome to the Create a Life You Love podcast. I'm your host, Chantel Cox. My purpose is to empower and lift up others who know in their heart they're meant for more. More joy, more impact, and more passion. If you're ready to make a radical transformation and create a life that you love, then you have come to the right place. Let's do this. Welcome to today's episode of Thrive Not Survive, where we share tips from around the world about how to thrive and not just survive when we find ourselves in turbulent times. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm your host, Chantel. I'm an author and a transformation coach who empowers motivated professional women who are ready to break free from the bondage of daily stress and anxiety so that you can really step into your full potential and create a life that you love. So I am so excited to be here tonight with a fellow coach. Mickey is a life and wellness and certified neuro coach. She is passionate about helping women get out of the feeling of unworthiness, insecurity, and hopelessness and find her God-given greatness so she can go from just surviving to thriving and be free to go after her dreams. So it's just perfect that you are here tonight, Mickey. Welcome. How are you doing today?
Good, good. How are you? How are you?
Awesome. Hey. We have had a busy day.
We did. Oh my goodness. You had two calls and I mean, we both had two calls, but I just couldn't make the last one. Too busy.
Yes. I was not really able to attend much of that last call either, but yeah, so here we are. And so kind of, I've gotten to know you a little bit through a coaching program that we're in together. And so, but tell the audience kind of about you and how you help people and
sure, yeah. That good stuff.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
Okay. My name is Mickey Sturgis. I am a life wellness and certified neuro coach, where the Chantel is also going for. I help women who have gone through relationship trauma, like domestic abuse, betrayal, and divorce, to go from just surviving to thriving. So that's why we say, oh gosh, that's so aligned. Just, you know, we don't want to just survive. You know, you want to thrive in life. So that's what I do. And I'm a founder of Rise Up Women Movement. This idea came several years ago. But I kept denying God's voice. I kept hearing God's voice, and I was like, "No, I don't want to do that." I'm also a survivor myself of domestic abuse, and so you know, God has kept like knocking on my door and say, "Hey, it's time. You know, you didn't go through this experience, horrendous experience. You didn't go through that in vain. You know, use it to help other people." And so that's how I got started last year.
I just love that because those who are familiar with me and my message know that my story and my message align with you very closely. And so yeah. I think that's beautiful when we have been through trials and we can use that to then help others. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think so. It took a while for me. I don't know about you, but I went through my first marriage was very abusive, which lasted 13 years. And I had a son. And, you know, I got into another relationship, but this was after like a year or year and a half, hoping to meet somebody else, right? But I went through extensive like therapy and counseling. And when I left my domestic abuse, abusive relationship, I went to a domestic violence shelter. So they are so, you know, resourceful, right? Because they gave me a small group, the legal assistance, mm-hmm. not the money, but the legal person, you know, they assigned me one, and they helped me tremendously. So I went through a lot of those therapy and counseling and learning process. Yet after all that is done, I still had to go through my process of healing. And that took a long time. You know, first I was like almost in denial that it wasn't that bad. You know, I kept saying, no, it wasn't that bad. There are many people who go through worse. But the domestic shelter counselors, they said, you know, that's pretty severe. That's pretty serious what you went through. And I was like, no, I'm good, you know. But that's probably why it took a while, because I'm a strong person to begin with, I think. You know, God gave me a strength, but my value backfired on me. You know, my value of wanting to work things out. Family was very important to me. It is still important to me. And I was trying to work things out, If I didn't make him mad, I would be okay. You know, or if I didn't cook this food, it should be okay. Or trying to make this happen. And that really backfired on me. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Those eggshells.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What one of the counselors, I went through a pretty serious postpartum depression.
Okay.
And at that time I went to a counseling and I was talking about, you know, why I'm feeling this way. I'm not a depressive person. And he's the one who said, you know what, I think your value is backfiring on you. Because I did share a little bit about what was going on. And, you know, he told me something to the effect of, you can change all you want, but if he's not willing to change, it's not going to change.
Right.
You know, he didn't tell me to move or leave or anything like that, but you know, that's what he said. He said, you have to think about that. I was, of course, bawling. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those decisions are so tough. And I think, you know, you hear occasionally like, well, why did they stay so long? Why did? Mm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like,
complicated.
It is so complicated. Yes. And it's just so intricate. And oftentimes abusers are very manipulative, and then you feel so trapped and you feel like it's your fault and this mm-hmm. is the best that you can get. This is the best you deserve. And it's just so.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And those are the times, you know, I was there. I don't know how long you were married to your person who's abused you, but I was married 13 years. And from the beginning, it was like that. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see it as abuse, right. You know, and it was also cultural too, because I'm Japanese and I grew up in a traditional, very strict family, and there was no abuse. As far as I remember, there was no abuse towards me or, you know, mom or dad. I never seen them. I've seen them fight, but I never seen them, you know, like physically going against each other or anything like that. So, but he was very traditional Japanese, who is very dominant, you know, what dad said went mm-hmm. in my family. So it wasn't like, oh, this is abnormal. You know, it was like, okay. If he didn't like this dish, I didn't. Okay. He didn't like this dish. So next time I don't, you know, or even if he like shoved me against the wall, I'm like, okay, if I didn't get mad, it didn't get him mad. Maybe I you know, or one time this happened when I was dating, I called my friend. She's a Japanese friend. And she told me, I was talking to her, you know, this happened and he slapped me and he was jealous, basically. And that's what I told her. You know, I was talking to this guy, he got jealous and he slapped me. And my friend said, I think he loves you so much, you know? So for her too, she was telling me, I think he loves you so much that he gets jealous.
Wow.
So of course I was like, oh, maybe so. Okay. You know, I was early in my early 20s.
That was going to be my next question, was how old were you during this?
I was young.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you look back, I'm like, oh, I wish I could have told you know, I would tell that to my younger self, don't be stupid. But, you know, I was in love, you know, love makes you blind. I thought I was in love. Maybe I was just in love with that, you know, idea of love, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I've gone through that 13 years.
Wow.
And yeah.
So you got out of that and rebuilt yourself and did a lot of work on yourself and therapy and counseling and all those things. And then how long after that was it that you started working with other women who have had similar stories?
Okay. So this, you know, like I say, it took a long time for me to start sharing even. So I left 1999. Well, you can see my age now. it's been 20 years since I left, right? First 10 years, I think that's the time that I was trying to just heal, even with my new husband. I was just too busy, you know, busy with my children. I had two more children with my current husband, and I just, you know, I was just busy. And so actually this voice of God, I kept hearing that about 3 years ago. And that's when, you know, I was doing some devotional, and it's almost audible. It was like, hello, Mickey, you know, like, isn't it about time? Mm-hmm. And ever since that, I kept hearing every sermon, every podcast I listen to, or some stranger I talk to, or sermon. The last one I was like, okay, that's it. Was my we had a new pastor in our church, and I think this was one of his first sermons, and he was talking about how we are called to for his service, and it wasn't specifically to me, but it was like, he's talking to me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then, yeah. So, and even after that, I was still contemplating, should I do this? Should I not? God, I know you want me to. And I started the scripture writing journal, which I teach in my group. So my method is I write scripture, I meditate on it, and I write whatever comes to my mind. You know, nothing comes in, but a lot of times God speaks to me. So I'll write down, and I write down the prayer. One morning I wrote down, God, this is so out of my comfort zone. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'm qualified to do it, but if you want me to do this, please show me the way. And that day I was attending Business by Design Live by James Wedmore.
Yeah.
And in that event, there is a time where one person is chosen to go on stage for hot seat.
Oh, wow.
And that year, I don't know, the other live, I don't know how they do it, but that particular live event, he said, you know, you look under your seat, there's something under the seat. And I looked mine, and it was there. And it says hot seat.
Oh, man.
That's 280 people. In front of 280 people, I had to be up there and discuss what I had in mind for my business.
Wow.
You know, what you could ask anything you wanted on that hot seat, right? And before that happened, I had to write down in my notebook what, if I were to be chosen, what you're going to talk about. And I wrote down exactly about Rise Up Woman movement. And I said, I have this movement in mind. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this, you know? But that to me was God's way of waking me up.
Mm.
So that happened last January.
Wow.
And which was, you know, January of 2019. And that's when I said, when I came back from that event, I was like, yes, I'm going to do this. I opened my group. I opened this and that. And I was trying to, like, try to make the plan. And I made the plan, I made the goal. Even that, after that, there's that doubt kept coming up. Doubt and a little voice of Satan, I say. I call it a voice of Satan, right? It's, he kept whispering, who are you? You're not qualified. Mm-hmm. That was not God, you know? So I kept going back and I said, you know, I don't know what is wrong with me. That's how I talked. What's wrong with me? I can't do this. I'm not cut out for this. I don't have anything to offer. Those words were exact words I was talking to myself. And I met Dr. Shannon, actually, Irvin, at BBD Live.
Oh, great.
I knew of her from video, live video group that I used to be in. And, but I saw her in person at BBD Live. And so I knew her, I knew of her. And I was following her and she was talking about exactly this, right? Rewiring your brain. And she said, you know, your brain is the one that keep you comfortable and familiar and comfortable, right? Familiar and safe. So that made sense. And that's when I say, you know what? I'm in. I'm going to go all the way in. So that's when I started neuro coaching. First, I went through her program and then she offered a neuro coaching program. So I jumped in.
Oh, great. So yeah. And her program being the Epic Success Academy, was it the same right. program? Okay.
Yeah. And even that, it was amazing. So, you know, it's God's working all this time, right? So I was in ESA, Epic Success Academy, and she was doing some live videos and I was writing it and she was doing some drawing. And I won VIP access.
Ooh.
So I'm like, what? And she was even like, yeah, you won. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I got into VIP access. So there, she has, you know, several tiers of her program. And that's how I got to ESA and VIP. And then, of course, she offered a neuro coaching certification. So I'm like, okay, I'm in. So that's what I've been doing. And that makes so much difference, you know, that just knowing the fact that your brain is the one that's actually working against you almost, you know, keeping you safe and familiar. And what I also learned is that I actually got certified at the same time for Her Journey Abuse Recovery Ministry. This abuse recovery ministry and services in Oregon, they have a program called Her Journey for those women who have gone through the domestic abuse. So I got certified in that. And then in that program also talks about brain, you know, trauma brain. Basically, when you're going through that, your brain actually is rewired all through that, you know, the 13 years I was married. No wonder here I was, very ambitious, fearless 20-year-old who come to the United States by herself, you know, and all of a sudden lost herself. And it's like, okay, who am I? I don't even know what I like or not like. Without him, I can't make a decision. You know what I mean? Wow. So that is because of your brain being rewired. You're told you're not worth it. You know, you're not worthy. But he used to say is you're so stupid. He would say something like, but I think you said this, nobody loves you like I do.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to want you. If you leave me, you're going to be alone all your life. All these things. And I believed it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're a naive little girl. That's what he always said too. And I used to love Disney. I still love Disney. And if I would buy something like, you know, like a curtain with a Winnie the Pooh on it or whatever. Oh, he would make fun of me.
Mm.
So after I left, my apartment was decorated with Winnie the Pooh.
I love it.
Yes.
Isn't it funny the things that you know, you like rebel because you're like, haha, I don't have to listen to you anymore. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to decorate my apartment with Winnie the Pooh. Watch me now.
Yeah, exactly. And also the food. I don't eat meat too much. So I would be so happy just have rice, miso soup, and my tofu and vegetables. I was so happy with that. You know, just like the little things like that, like made me happy at that, you know, because I was just both, I was free from that restriction. And then that's when I started finding myself. I was already a, personal development junkie. So yeah. I read a lot of books and self-help books. And also I started going back to church and that really helped. And, you know, just never looked back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Any particular books that come to mind that were really helpful on your journey that we can share with the audience today?
You know what? The specifically the one that I recently read because of my certification, Why Does He Do That? It's called Lundy Bancroft. And this is specifically for those women who have gone through domestic abuse, because we always ask ourselves, right? Why does he do that? That's exactly the title of the book. Right. So I would recommend anybody who's going through that would read this. Awesome. Like I said, I love I really like self-development. So my favorite is Hal Elrod.
Yes.
The Miracle Morning and Miracle Equation. Uh-huh. That I recently read that and it's so good. And Marie Forleo.
Love her.
Yes.
Figureoutable.
Yeah. Oh, that is, you know, I just love that. And there's so many books. Elizabeth Gilbert, Magic. It just escapes me for a moment.
Is that the Happiness Project?
It's something magic.
Oh,
gosh, it doesn't come. It'll come.
It'll be here in a minute.
Yes. Awesome. But yeah, those books are really awesome.
I think.
Big Magic. Big Magic.
Big Magic. Okay.
Yeah. You know, one thing that it really resonated with me in Big Magic is that if you have an idea, if you don't implement it, it will escape and go to somebody else who is willing to do it.
Oh.
And that really resonated with me.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh my word, there are so many ideas in the past. You know, you do that probably have an experience too. It's like, oh, I want to do this. And all of a sudden somebody else is doing it.
Yep.
Have you had that experience? So that she talks about that. And I'm like, oh, wow. It's amazing. You know, there's so many books. Start with Why with Simon Sinek. That's one of my favorite also. And 5-Second Rule by Robbins.
Rule. Yeah, I love that whole idea. Like, just 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing how, you know, it's so easy to say, but it's difficult to do, because you could say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Whatever, you know, you could say that, right?
But if you do that, I'll do it again in a minute.
right. But, you know, I was listening to, so this is one of the books, and I think you would like this too. It's called Limitless by Jim Quick. And I would like to buy that book. I listened to the podcast, James Wetmore's podcast today, and he was a guest. And he's the expert. You've probably seen it on TED Talk. He is the expert for memory and speed reading. And he talks about the brain. If you like that, you know, it's like confirmation of what we have learned with Dr. Shannon.
Yeah.
You know, your brain, if you focus on something, all of a sudden that becomes more hyperactive. So if you focus on depression and anxiety and, you know, negative thinking, then that's where that your whole body will go. Your thinking will go, and that's what makes it happen. But if you focus on the positive and what you want, that's you naturally will take you over there. You know, and I always remember when I got pregnant, I was so happy. And all of a sudden, everybody's pregnant. Have you had that experience?
Yeah.
You know, same thing.
Well, that one, but yeah, the whole yeah, something happens to you and then all of a sudden everybody.
Yeah. same thing with, you know, like I started buying, last year. Oh my goodness. We bought a car and we were looking for this particular car and we had two cars, you know, which one should I buy, you know, and we decided on Honda Pilot. And I see Honda Pilot everywhere. You know what I mean? Because you're so focused in on, I'm sure there are so many pilots out there already in the town, in this town, you know, but I never really noticed it. But because I was paying attention to it, all of a sudden I see it everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's very important to what you think about. You know, I'm sure you teach that to your clients. But yeah, what you think about really grows. So mm-hmm. I think it's very important to pay attention to what you think about and what you believe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about, so you shared, you know, if you're thinking about, oh, I'm depressed, I have anxiety, you know, COVID or whatever's happening, whatever turbulent mm-hmm. times you're facing, I have uncertainty and, you know, you're focusing on these negative things. What should you focus on instead? Or how do you work yourself through that?
Yeah. So, you know, in the beginning, I was like so interested in looking at the news. First, I would just say, stop, you know, pick one or two reliable source, not Fox News, not those not Facebook, just really reliable source like CDC, you know, or WHO. I think those are very reliable source, right? And I was paying attention. I'm guilty. I was paying attention to all kinds of different opinions of people. You know, it's like, oh yeah, mask doesn't help, it says. Well, it does help. Oh, you know, stuff like that. Just a little bit. There is a belief, of course, that there are certain amount of faith. So, but, you know, focus on just pick a couple of resources and just stick with that. And then don't dwell there. Don't dwell there. And then focus on what I'm doing right now in our group is gratitude challenge. If you do, just focus on gratitude. So instead, when the thought comes in, say, let's say, man, I wish I had that, but I don't have the money. I don't have money. I can't buy it. Instead, what you have, you know, focus on, oh man, I'm so thankful. I have food in my tummy. I have teepee. I have, you know, roof over my head. Think about gratitude first, because gratitude and negativity, they don't reside together. So if you focus on gratitude, that's where it grows. So what I decided to do personally, you know, when I was going down, because I think cabin fever gets to you.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not positive all the time, like, you know. And what I decided to do is when I started to go downhill, actually, I feel guilty because my boy the other day, he said, they call me Karen sometime. Do you know what that is? Oh,
anyway. Karen from like a certain show or from?
It's a meme.
The meme. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
And,
got it.
Yeah. When I start saying things that he was sure they'll call me Karen, right? But the other day, my son actually pointed out to me, it was like jokingly, but He says, stop the victim. I'm like, oh.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was like, well, but you guys are so mean to me. Because they just joke around so much. Sometimes it hurts, right? So yeah. I was like, I'm doing all these things and you're not nice to me. And they're like, stop the victim. You know, I was like, oh. But that's where it goes. When you're focusing on things that it's negative, I was getting irritated because we're stuck here and we're trying to do things. And now because of this lockdown, I tried to do everything, right? Did you notice yourself? I don't know. But I'm like, oh, now I can stay home. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. No, I can't do everything. So that's when I decided, okay, I'm just going to focus on when I started going downhill like that. I'll say, thank you, God. I have a nice husband. He's annoying sometimes, but I have a nice husband who helps me, who has a job, puts the food on the table. You know, I have a car, nice car. I can drive to wherever I want to get, you know, if I have to go to get essentials, I'm able to. So instead of going down the hill, I'll just say, okay, well, thank you, God. Thank you. So I have to do that many times during the day, but I would consciously go there. Otherwise, if you stay in automatic mode, you're going to go downhill.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's easy to go down that hill once you start. And so having the ability to recognize and be like, oh, time out. What am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, women, I think it's about 5 years ago, I went through some premenopausal hormonal change. And that's when I could not even stop. So in that moment, I think it's important to look into maybe supplements, vitamin supplements, or natural resources. That's what I did. But it's important to, like you said, recognize, whoa, you're going in a deep end. Recognize first and stop yourself and say, okay, what do I need to do? So if you are going through really hormonal change, you might want to talk to your doctor and say, hey, you know, I'm going through this. Or you might want to look into a natural resources, you know, if you don't like taking medicine, like I don't, you know, I don't like it. So I went through, you know, natural path kind of thing. But, you know, there are a lot of things that you can do, you know, try to eat healthily and try different supplements and, you know, things like that. But other than that, your thoughts are like, what's the percentage? What it was like 85%, it's everything is from your thoughts. You know, you make decision from your subconscious level also. So it's very important to keep that in check.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, so we touched on the importance of gratitude. And so that's a way to help yourself bring, you know, if you feel yourself spiraling. So just to kind of recap a couple of the tips that you gave to help thrive during turbulent times. So really watch kind of your news in sources, what you're inputting, right? If you feel yourself spiraling, pay attention to gratitude. What are you thankful for? Focus on the good. And then don't be afraid to look for other options, whether it's like herbal supplements or over the counter, or maybe not over the counter, like prescription supplements, like work with your
doctor,
physician, whoever you're seeing for your mental health. And then, obviously also like the physical activity, getting out. Thankfully this is happening in the spring.
Oh, I know.
Not like the dead of winter.
Yeah, it's so true, because weather does, you know, make you feel either blue or happy. So I think it's, vitamin D, right? Yeah. So I think it's important to do that. I purposely do. This is another thing. You want to decide on non-negotiables. So like I have non-negotiable is my exercise, my devotional, my prayer, right? So if even if somebody says, I don't really have time, I would just say, when I make an appointment, I said, this is the time to exercise. I don't make any appointments during that time. And I try to do that first thing in the morning, because if I wait, I don't do it. So, you know, at least 5 days a week, or even if on the Saturday and Sunday, sometimes I take off from the exercise, but I do go, like last weekend, and we went on a hike. So, you know, try to get outside and do something, move your, I think it's so important, move your body. Like I said, you know, decide on non-negotiable. It doesn't have to be 10 things, 20 things to do. It's just, you know, these are the little things that I just cannot negotiate. You know, just put that on there. So my boys, my family knows that I exercise like Tuesday and Thursdays, 6:30 in the morning. So you eat cereal. I'm not cooking breakfast. You know? Right. And they're fine with that, right? So yeah, and let people know, hey, these are my non-negotiables. Don't bother me. This is my time. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those are so important. And I like that term, non-negotiables, because I mean, it does kind of, it sounds powerful. Like, no, this is serious. Like, mm-hmm. not, this is my routine, but you know, routines change. Like,
right.
Yeah. Exactly. The non-negotiable has a lot of like strength and power behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm terrible with memory, which is my belief. That's a limited belief.
Got to catch that sucker.
Yeah, I know. Catch that sucker. And I do catch that. I'm like, oh, shoot, that's my limiting belief.
Yes.
So, yeah. So I'm looking forward to receiving that book.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's a tip for everybody listening, is that catch those limiting beliefs. And so if you catch yourself saying like, I'm this or I'm that, or even I should, like the should statements are huge. You know, I should read more.
Yeah.
Like,
that is a real, it's, you know, we do this like even not even knowing. That's where the subconscious mind, you know, it's like that catching it is the first step. And I didn't realize how much. It's like onion layer, you know, it's like one layer at a time. You just have to just keep going. And you don't have to like hurry up and do it. Just do one thing at a time. You know, hey, I caught myself saying, ooh, I'm terrible at memory. And that's my, now I caught my limiting belief. I knew this, but you know, I caught my limiting belief and I have to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And find evidence that it counters that. And, you know, there's a couple of things that I caught myself, which was my running. Mm-hmm. When I was very little, I was made fun of, and I'm not good at running. You know, that's what I told myself all my life. Is this life and death situation? Nah, not really. I didn't care if I still think I don't like running. It's okay with me. But I do have to care about what I say to myself. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? You know, does that mean that nobody, you know, it's like you have to dig deep.
Right.
And I figured, oh, that means I'm not worth anything. You know, it comes down to, even though my surface level was like, oh, I'm not good at running. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean? Because it was not my ability too much. It was my being laughed at. You know, like I'm sure my parents didn't mean to laugh at me. They were laughing probably because it was cute. I was like 5 years old, you know? So I took it as I'm not worthy. I'm not worth, you know, being loved or something that in that area, not just my ability. So I had to really look into that. I think it's important. It really goes deep when you think about it.
It does. And like you said, that limiting belief initiated back when you were five. Mm-hmm. So it is so deeply ingrained. And then how does that impact you as an adult?
It does.
And yeah, I know for me, a big one was the family joke was like, Chantel's bad at math. And so anything that comes up, I'm like, oh, not a math person, whatever. And like, sometimes it's my cop out and like, I make fun of myself for it. And like, but then, that's a limiting belief. And I'm a teacher. I teach math. I mean, not high levels, but I'm like, okay, I teach and test and do all these things with math. Am I really that bad at math? Like, I understand and teach basic math. Like, I wouldn't go above sixth grade. I think even sixth grade, I'm starting to be like,
I know. It's ingrained. Mm-hmm. So it's important to, you know, in the surface level, you know, like running, for example, does it make any difference? Probably doesn't. But what's behind it is the one that we have to really attack. You know, it comes down to, am I worthy? Mm. Am I loved? Am I accepted? You know, those are really the core belief that we have to really look at.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's all any of us want, right? That's what we're striving for, to feel loved and accepted. And
Yeah. I think that especially when you learn that young, you know, like, you want to be accepted by your parents, loved by your parents, and because parents are your world at that age, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then becomes preschooler and the kindergartner, that group becomes bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden, by high school, you pretty much lose, what I want doesn't really matter. Mm. You know, I do what my mom says, what my dad says. And then all of a sudden, you started just getting shrink. So I think it's important for us to realize that and open that up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We went everywhere, didn't we?
We did. I love it. So for anybody that's with us live, if you guys have any questions while Mickey is here with us, please drop it in the chat and we'll address those. And then while they're doing that, the links are in the description, and I'll have them with the replay and the show notes and everything. But so tell people, Mickey, like, how can they get in touch with you, and what types of things, like, how do you work with people? And
oh, okay. So I'm pretty much on Facebook, so you can contact me on Facebook or Instagram. Instagram is not too much. I do a lot of personal posting, but I do have Rise Up Women Movement on Instagram, and Rise Up Women Movement group is on Facebook, and that's completely filtered. So only women can get in, and we have to, that especially for that group, you have to have a personal profile. We do check it out, make sure it's not a fake account. So it's, you know, it's a safe place for women. And I do have Mickey Sturgis page that you can get in contact with me. And I, at this moment, I do work one-on-one, and because of the topic, you know, the domestic abuse, betrayal, those are pretty personal thing. So I am working with people one-on-one, and I will go, you know, I will assess where they're at, and we can go from there.
Absolutely. And I love that you do keep that community so safe and sheltered, because if people are there, like, you don't want a fake account from their abuser. So I like that you are so conscientious of that and really provide that safe space for women you work with.
Yeah. You never know on Facebook. Yeah. You know, so I try to catch that. You know, if they're faking to be a woman, I don't know how I would filtered out. But I am pretty much right now, as so far, we're pretty safe. And one thing I do want to say, though, I am a follower of Christ, and I do talk about scriptures, and I do incorporate God's word in my coaching. So, that doesn't mean that you cannot be, if you're not Christian, you cannot be my client. Of course not. You know, you can, it doesn't have to be, but I just wanted people to know that that's where I stand.
Right. Yeah. 'Cause you're not going to filter yourself and your values and your beliefs in your own business.
Right. Exactly.
Embrace all of yourself authentically and show exactly. up how you want to show up. So.
Yeah. I completely believe in God and everything that comes from him. You know, we are the gift from God. You know, we're given that gift. So that's what I believe.
Thank you for listening to the Create a Life You Love podcast. I would love to hear from you about your biggest takeaways. Share them with me on Facebook or Instagram at Create a Life You Love Coaching. If you love this podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. That's it for now. Enjoy the journey.